A few years ago, a program appeared on British television called The Royal Family, in which we watch a working-class family as they watch TV. But we watch them from the vantage point of their television. So they're looking straight at us as we look straight at them. They're sitting on a sofa and a couple of armchairs, or sprawling more than sitting, really, almost melting down the chairs and into the floor. And I always wonder how many of us watching are sitting just as they are. Many of us spend a lot of our waking lives sitting, at work, in a car, in waiting rooms, in front of the TV. Do we sit in a way that makes us more comfortable, more relaxed, happier? Do we sit in a way that gives our arms and eyes the support and freedom they need? Do we sit in a way that we can sustain through a working day, a working life? In my capacity as a Feldenkrais practitioner, I see quite a few people who are in a real crisis as a result of the way they sit, with pain and discomfort in their arms and shoulders, their upper backs and necks. Many already know they should find a better way of sitting, but are unsure how to do it. They've tried sitting up. They may have tried several different and possibly expensive chairs in the hope that adequate support will put them into the right position. As a result of my experience with many of these people, I really do believe that we can sit well, that our inbuilt capacity for learning, strength, and flexibility is not only up to the job, but offers much more potential than any chair or complicated external support. Even in cases of considerable damage to our inner mechanism, there is usually much more possibility left than we dream. It's a matter of how we use that possibility. And that means, more than anything else, learning. We must learn to use more fully what we already have. The following movement exploration is one way of beginning to learn about what sitting could be. Try it out as gently as you can. In fact, your comfort is the most important part. This isn't like a school lesson with a right and a wrong way of doing things that you must do correctly. Instead, I hope that it can be a way of coming closer to your own nature and your own feelings. First, sit on a chair as flat as you have. Make sure it's not too hard. Use a thin cushion if you need to. Make sure that it's low enough that your feet can easily reach the floor, and that you can have your thighs more or less level, certainly not sloping steeply downward toward your knees. Sit on the front edge of the chair so that your thighs are hardly touching the chair. What still does touch the chair? What are you sitting on, if not your thighs? At the bottom of your pelvis, there are two strong protrusions called, appropriately enough, your sitting bones. They're usually about 5 or so inches apart, though most people imagine them much wider. Sway a little bit forward and back and a little bit side to side in order to feel your sitting bones. Do they move with you? Do they stay more still with your spine moving above them? Now just sway a little bit forward and back, moving your head and shoulders only a few inches each way. Aim to move your whole back as if it were a stick, so that every part moves at the same time. You'll need to do this slowly in order to make sure that you think that you're doing that. Can you do this gently without holding on tightly inside? Can your pelvis be part of this, so that you can feel the movement rolling you very slightly forward and back on your sitting bones? Again, go slowly, perhaps timing the movement with your breathing. Even when we aren't doing anything on purpose, the basic processes of life are still going on. the heart is beating, digestion and other internal chemistry continues, and we breathe. Most of these are not only unconscious, but they can't even be made conscious, except breathing. Breathing is right on the line. We can interfere with it consciously, or we can just let it get on with its job. As a result, it occupies a special place in any attempt to learn about ourselves and movement. In this exploration, I would ask you simply to connect the timing of the other actions with your breathing, without doing anything special to the breathing itself. It's one way to make sure that you aren't holding your breath. Now do this same swaying slowly, gently, forward and backward, but this time keeping your pelvis still. Don't let your pelvis move. Can you find a way to let everything above your pelvis sway lightly forward and back without the pelvis being involved? The movement can be, in fact should be, as small as necessary to be truly comfortable. And now go back to the previous way, swaying forward and back gently and slowly, but again involving the pelvis, moving the pelvis along with the rest of yourself. And then try it again without the pelvis moving. Compare these two ways of moving. How many ways are they different? In which parts of yourself? How many ways are they similar, and in which parts of yourself? One of these ways of moving may be more familiar than the other, a sure sign that you do it more often. Now, our principal bad habit is to step on the brake and the accelerator at the same time, and in this case, that often means moving the torso but holding the pelvis still. When you sway forward and back and include your pelvis in the movement, what happens in your knees? What happens in your ankles? If it isn't clear, try holding your knees or your ankles still for a few movements. And then let them go again. Can you feel the difference between these two ways of moving? The movement in the ankles and knees is a small but essential accommodation to the larger movement of the torso. The contrast between holding them still and letting them go may make their small but important contribution more apparent. You may notice that if the seat of the chair isn't flat and level, it's a bit more difficult to find your balance. The chair itself is trying to dictate a direction. Oh, come on, lean back here. Most chairs seem designed as if to seduce us into sitting their way, to seduce us away from any internal sense of balance and support that we may have. Return to the swaying, forward and back, and then begin to decrease the size of the movement, like a pendulum slowly coming to a rest. Each movement smaller, and the next one still smaller, until finally you come to a rest. Smaller and smaller, until you come to a rest. And finally, when you have come to a rest, notice where you are. Are you leaning a bit more forward than usual, or a bit more backward? Rest a moment before you go on. Sit however you like, and notice what you feel, what you think, without guiding or compelling your thoughts. Let your breath move as it will. What we are used to feels right. That doesn't mean it is right. just that familiarity makes it feel right and makes everything else feel slightly odd. This process that we've just been using chooses a position. The swaying, as it gets smaller and smaller, zeroes in on a position, one that is more centered, closer to neutral than what you're used to. If this new position feels as though you were leaning forward, then you're probably used to leaning slightly backward, and vice versa. Perhaps this sounds as though we're looking for some final correct position that might cure everything. And in fact, for each moment, there actually is a position of perfect balance, but then the moment changes. Turning your head, tilting it, even breathing, all of these will slightly change your balance. And the larger movements of work or conversation will change it even more. What is needed is not one single perfect position, but the kind of sensitivity that will lead us toward balance during all the movements of our lives. Leaning the torso forward and backward is one vital dimension for balance in sitting. Another is the range between arching the back and rounding it. The words themselves can be confusing. I'm using arching to mean the movement in which the front side of the torso gets longer while the back gets shorter, as in a proud or military bearing. And by rounding, I mean the movement in which the front side of the torso gets shorter while the back side gets longer, a slumped or even caved in bearing. Sit again on the front edge of your chair. Put one hand flat on the top of your chest, just below the front of your throat. Can you feel the highest bones in this area, the collarbones, where they join the top of your breastbone? Put the other hand flat on the lowest part of your belly, just above your pubic bone. The top of your hand will probably be a couple of inches below your belly button. Now bend your whole back, so that the places where your two hands are resting come closer together. And then bend your whole back so that these two places go further apart. Your hands are just going along for the ride, not doing any work themselves. That way they can help you feel better what your torso is doing. As your hands are brought closer together, you're rounding your back. And as your hands go further apart, you are arching your back. When you do this, is the top half of you, your chest and head, moving more? Or is your pelvis moving more? Or are they moving more or less the same amount? We do seem to have a cultural bias toward keeping the pelvis still. When I teach this material and look around the room at this stage of the lesson, I often see that the majority keep their pelvis still and move their upper body above it. It's like an architectural metaphor, as if a motionless pelvis made the best foundation. But the human body doesn't work like bricks stacked on top of each other. Our human potential is far more fluid. A well-coordinated person isn't imprisoned by gravity in the way a pile of blocks would be. Instead, the forces of movement and the force of gravity ripple through the skeleton the way a fish ripples through water. When you round your back and your hands come closer together, let your pelvis roll toward the back of the chair so that your tailbone comes closer to the seat or even presses into the seat, and your lower back moves backward. Then, when you arch your back and your hands move further apart, let your pelvis roll toward the front of the chair, so that your tailbone moves away from the seat and your belly moves forward and even somewhat downward. Do this gently, slowly, really taking your time. One way, the lower back moves backward. The other way, the lower back moves forward. Find a way to do this so that your chest and pelvis move more or less an equal amount. Let every part of your back bend at the same time. You can even include your head by looking downward as you round your back, and then a bit upward as you arch your back. Downward toward your belly as your lower back moves backward. Upward in the direction of the ceiling somewhat as your belly moves forward. And just maybe, you can even do all of this so gently that you can breathe at the same time, so that the action doesn't obstruct your breathing at all. Our habits of movement are the greatest fruit of our learning. When we first learned to walk, it took perhaps a year of learning. Now you can wake up, roll out of bed, and walk again in just the time it takes to clear your brain and rub the sleep from your eyes. The whole point of memory is that you don't have to learn all over again. But one drawback of this is that we can get by for a long time without doing much maintenance, and our coordinations can start to resemble clothes that we've slept in, that haven't been washed or ironed for far too long. What we're aiming at here is somewhat like doing the washing or doing the ironing, cleaning or smoothing out our coordinations. We accomplish that by finding situations in which we can feel our movement in a fresh, immediate way, feel how all of our moving parts can cooperate to make simple, comfortable movement. Put your hands back in their places again, one at the top of your breastbone, the other at the very bottom of your belly. Remember to use your hands to feel whether you are actually doing what you intend. Now round your back generously, but still within the range of your comfort. Hold your back and your entire torso in this position, this rounded position, as lightly as you can. And slowly tilt the whole position forward and backward several times. This may sound easy, but it often isn't. Your back may start to uncurl at some times, or round more at others, so go slowly. Feel the changes in your belly and in the front of your torso as you move backward, and the very different sensations there as you move forward. When do you feel something in the lowest part of your belly? When do you feel something at the bottom of your ribs? When do you feel something further up into your ribs? Notice as well the changes in the back of your torso as you move forward and back. It's often much more difficult for people to feel these small changes of effort in the back of the torso. And now rest for a moment. Uncurl yourself. Rest in any position that you would find comfortable. And now do the opposite movement. That is, arch your back so that the places your two hands are touching are spread as far apart as is comfortable. In order to have some room to move, it may help to spread your legs fairly wide and to be perched as far forward on the chair as is possible, so that you're barely on it at all. Then, holding yourself in this arched position, as lightly as you can, gently begin to sway forward and backward. Sway the whole position forward and backward. Again, this is harder to do than you might think. You may well find that you begin to lose the arch, either as you go backward or as you go more than a small amount forward. Move slowly and feel the changing sensations in the front of your torso and the changing sensations in the back of your torso. So you've kept your back rounded while swaying forward and backward, and just now you've kept your back arched while swaying forward and backward. Now let's combine the swaying with changing the back between arched and rounded. Have your two hands in the same places, one at the top of the front of your torso, the other at the bottom. As you round your back so that the two hands are brought closer together, lean gradually more and more backwards. Look down toward your belly as you do this. Stop when you run out of room to comfortably round your back, or when you run out of room to comfortably lean backwards, whichever comes first. Then, slowly and gradually, arch your back so that your two hands are separated further and further, and at the same time, lean slowly forward. Look gradually upward as you do this. Stop when it isn't easy to arch more, or when it isn't easy to lean forward more, whichever one comes first. Go back and forth several times, taking your time, breathing, smoothing out the movement. At the same time that you round your back, you lean backwards. At the same time that you arch your back, you lean forward. Each time, find a way to make it easier, even if that means making the movement smaller. Easier and easier. Notice what happens in all the parts of you that aren't obviously involved in the movement. Your knees and ankles and feet especially. This may sound like an easy combination. The words are so simple. Lean backward as you round, lean forward as you arch. Yet many people find that they do the exact opposite combination without thinking. Our habits can be very strong here and very fixed. Do this again, or continue doing it, gently, slowly, arching as you go forward, and rounding as you go backward. When you've found an easy range and an easy rhythm, start to gradually make the movements smaller and smaller. Again, it's like a pendulum, swinging less and less with every swing, until finally it comes to a perfectly balanced rest. Let each movement be smaller than the ones before, until, in just a few more movements, you come to a rest. And when you have come to a rest, let both of your hands down, but don't change anything else. Feel what this place is like. Is it restful? Is it balanced? How does this kind of balance compare to the sort of positions that you're accustomed to? Are you more arched than usual or more rounded? More forward or more backward? And what's your breathing like? As I said before, this resting place won't last forever. After a few moments, the demands of life will ask you to move one way or another. But by practicing just this process regularly, we can sharpen our perception of balance and at the same time smooth out the movements that bring us in and out of balance. This isn't the right way to sit, nor is it the only way to improve our balance while sitting. But it is an approach that can work, if you try it out, if you practice it from time to time. I would suggest repeating the whole exploration once a day, and then using the last pendulum movement as a break from time to time, when you've been sitting for a while. After you've got used to this process, after it has become harder to pay attention in a fresh way, then it's time to move on to some other means of surprising yourself into fresh awareness. There are thousands of these explorations in the Feldenkrais method, each one tailored to a slightly different movement or a different way of approaching the movement. I hope you've enjoyed this and will make use of it. Thank you very much.